Okay. No. Gemara says, "Boy, mine Rav Huna Bachinim Rav Sheshes." Rav Huna Bachinim asked the question from Rav Sheshes. Hamecha Bayis Bati Ori Chema. Okay, there's different. We learned already in the Gemara part of this. There's selling houses in a walled city. Selling houses in a walled city, you have a year to redeem it. After a year, finished. Stay Achuza means a field of inheritance. You can redeem it. But if you don't redeem it, it goes back to the original owner in Yovel anyway. Okay? Hegdish, you could redeem. If somebody is Makdish a field, they say this field is Hegdish. They could redeem it. But if they don't, when Yovel comes, it goes to the Kohanim and you're finished. Okay, these are the three basic dinim that the Pasuk says. Before the Gemara was talking about, can you redeem half, and, you know, do half, and all that. But his question was like this. If somebody sells a house in a walled city, the din is you have a year to redeem it, right? Can you redeem half of it, or can you not redeem half of it? Okay? So the Gemara says, what's the question? Do we learn it out? Here it says the word gulasi. By a field it says gulasi mastei achuzah. Just like we learned before in the Gemara, a field cannot be redeemed halfway. You either redeem it or you don't redeem it. Afhani nami ainu nigalachsoin. So the same thing, a house can only be redeemed completely, not halfway. Oidoma haicha de galalei. Gali, when the Torah tells us he can't do it halfway, the Torah tells us. When the Torah doesn't teach us, maybe, so in other words, maybe he could. In other words, we know like this, a field cannot be redeemed 50% of it. You either redeem the whole field or nothing of it. So the Gemara asks a very simple question, what's the din by a house? You have a year to redeem it. Can you redeem half of it or can you not redeem half of it? So he said, from the teaching of Rav Shimon, as Rav Shimon Yochai, we learn, number one, you could borrow money and you could redeem it halfway. Two things. Because certain fields, we're going to soon see in the Gemara, you cannot borrow money. You either have the money, then you could redeem it, but to borrow money to redeem it, you're not allowed to. Number one. So he says, from Rav Shimon by Yochai's din, he teaches us, number one, you could borrow money, and v'goyel l'chatzoyin, you could do half of the house. You could redeem half of the house at a time. So he says, where do we see Rav Shimon by Yochai? Rav Shimon says this. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa the following din. It says in the Pasuk, im goal goal. Okay, if somebody speaks over there, if a person made his field hegdish, he made the field hegdish, and then the Torah says, "Im gal yigal, if you redeem it, it's yours." The Tzaddik Lamed, it teaches us what's the extra gal yigal. It's an extra word, gal yigal, right? It's an extra word, which teaches us shaleva v'goyel. Number one, that you could borrow money and redeem it, and also v'goyel lechatzoy. And you can redeem it half at a time. But that is by a field that you were magdish, that you made hegdish. So Amar Shimon, so Rav Shimon says, Matam, why? Why does the Torah allow you to redeem the field halfway? Why does the Torah allow you to borrow money to redeem it? Because Rav Shimon, this is a rule throughout Shas, the Gemara uses the expression many times, Rav Shimon, Dorish Taima Dekra. Rav Shimon explains the reason of the Pasuk. In other words, what Rav Shimon does, he goes into the logic of the Torah and says, based on the understanding of the logic, we know the reason why the Torah says this din, that we can apply to other cases also. And he says like this, Matam, what's the reason? So he says like this, if somebody sells a field, again, not hegdish, not a house, A guy sells a field. What's the din? Shemhigi a yovel v'le nigalo. If yovel comes and he didn't redeem it, chayzeres lebaleo b'yovel. He goes back, the field goes back to the owner in yovel. Therefore, hoda kaychay, the Torah says, your rights are limited. Shein aleve v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzoyin. That you can't borrow money to redeem a field, and you can't redeem half a field. Let me explain this outside. The Gemara sounds complicated, but it's really when you get it, the logic is very, very logical. The Shimon says like this, Chaf Amid Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. Rav Shimon says like this, the Torah wants a field to remain by the owner. That's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants fields to be by the owner. Therefore, Rav Shimon says like this, what's the din if you sell a field? If you sell a field, if you don't do anything to the field, when Yovel comes, it goes back to you. It goes back to you. So therefore, the Torah thinks like this. Listen, you're going to get it back anyway. Eventually, Yovel comes, the family is going to get back the field. So therefore, we make it harder on you to redeem the field. Why is it harder to redeem the field? You're going to get it anyway. Now you want to get it back earlier. So you can either redeem the whole field or nothing. And you cannot borrow money to redeem the field. You have to own the money. But what's the logic of Shimon says? Because the Torah wants the field to be by you. Therefore, a magdish, a person who makes his field hegdish, what's the din? The din is by a field that you made hegdish, not sold. You gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't redeem it by Yovel, the field goes to the Kohanim. You lose the field completely. So by hegdish of a field, there's a possibility you're going to lose the field. If you don't redeem it, the Kohanim are going to get the field by Yovel, not you.
Or even if the hegdish says the property, they're not going to get it back.
Well, probably, I don't know, probably not. So therefore he says, so the Torah makes it easier for you to redeem it earlier. How? You could do half the field at a time, or you could borrow money to redeem the field. Why is the Torah making it easier for you now? Because eventually you're going to lose the field. And the Torah doesn't want you to lose the field. The Torah wants you to keep the field. If you're not going to redeem it by Yovel, the Kohanim are going to get the field. You're going to lose it for good. So the Torah says, you know what? If that's the case, we're going to make it easier for you to redeem the field. You can borrow money to redeem it, or you can redeem half the field. And he says, because what's the problem? If Yovel comes and the guy doesn't redeem the field, so what happens? The Kohanim didn't get it. You're going to lose ownership completely. Therefore, the Chachamim gave you the strength. I mean, he says the Torah gives you the strength now. Shalav of a goyel. Number one, you could borrow money and redeem it, and also goyel lachatzoyin. Okay. So now, so far, this is what Rav Shimon said. Rav Shimon is not talking about selling a field a house in a walled city. Rav Shimon, meanwhile, is talking about two fields. One field that you sell, you cannot redeem halfway. You cannot borrow money and redeem it. Why not? Because you're going to get it back anyway. If you magdish a field, because you're going to lose the field, Chacham made it easier for you to get it back. I mean, the Torah makes it easier for you to get it back by borrowing money or by redeeming half of it. So following Rav Shimon's logic, he says like this, okay, therefore, let's use the same logic by selling a house. What's the din if you sell a house in a walled city? You have up to a year to redeem it. If not, the buyer keeps it for good. If the buyer is going to keep it for good, that means you're going to lose your property. If that's the case, according to Rav Shimon, then the Torah wants you to keep the field. So therefore, Shimalei Shina Shana Tmima Valei Nigal. Because why are you on the bad end of the deal? Because if a year goes by and you didn't redeem it, Nechlat, the field stays in the hands of the house stays in the hands of the buyer. So therefore, logic dictates Yupa Keichai. Therefore, it should be good. Shalava of a Goyal, that he can borrow money to redeem it. The Geyalach Tzorn, he could redeem it halfway. So this is how Rav Sheshis answered Rav Huna Bar Chinin asked the Shaila, if you sell a house in a walled city, can you redeem it halfway or not? So Rav Sheshis answered, according to Rav Shimon's logic, you could. So it's not a question of likening to stay achuza, not likening to stay achuza. According to the logic of Rav Shimon, that the Torah wants you to keep property, and if you're going to lose it, the Torah makes it easier for you to redeem it, that's this case. After a year, you lose the house to the buyer, so therefore the Torah allows you to redeem it halfway and to borrow money.
But the goal in hand is stated only for the field, not for
correct.
The house.
Correct.
But there will also be both of them.
Right. Right. So the question, do we learn gulasi gulasi or not? He said no. Because again, if you look, what does the Torah want? The Torah wants the owner to keep the field. See, if you're going to get it back anyway, so we'll make your life miserable. You want to redeem it earlier, either all of it or none of it, and you cannot borrow money. But in the case where you're going to lose the field, the Torah says, then we're going to make it easy for you to redeem it. You can borrow money and redeem it, and you can do it halfway. Whatever you're going to gain, gain.
Same with the house.
Same with the house.
So we are conquering the field with the house.
Not Magdish the field.
Right.
Not selling the field.
Right.
Okay, so hey, Eisvei. So now the questions that Rav Sheshis has answered. It says like this. In a Braise it says, Im Goal Yigal, this is about a field of Hegdish. Okay? Melamed Shalava V'goyel V'goyel L'chatzon. Like we said before, by Hegdish, you can borrow money and redeem it, and you can redeem it halfway. And he says, what is the Torah teaching us by this? Because I would think the opposite way. 20b5, sir.
Yeah, I got it.
Dinu, I would think the opposite way. What's the opposite way? Oma meches te'achuza. If a person sells a field, sheyup akeich, that his power is strong, shemegi a yevil, that when yevil comes, v'lei nigel, and he doesn't redeem it, chizad is the b'leah b'yevil, you get it back anyway, right? That means you such a strong power that if you sell a field, you're going to get it back in yevil. Yet, hoda keich, your power is weakened, that you cannot redeem it halfway. You cannot borrow money and redeem it. So Magdish, Shohuru Keich, Hegdish, which is also a weak power. Shemegia Yevo Vele Nigala, that if Yevo comes and you don't redeem the field, the Kayanim get it. So then for sure, your power should be weakened up to Yevo. The Gemara says we can use a Kavachim, this is what the Braish is saying. Lucheira, there's a Kavachim in reverse. What's the Kavachim in reverse? What if you sell a field where your power is strong when you're going to get it back in your evil, yet the Torah makes it difficult for you to redeem it? No halfway, no borrowing. Hegdish, where your power is, to begin with, weak. For sure, the pre-yovel should be weaker. You might look at the, I would think this way is the way the Kavachim should go. That if you have a power of getting the field back, eventually, yet, when it comes to pre-redeeming it, the Torah says, no, it's all or none, and you cannot borrow money. Hevdish, which is weak to begin with, you not get it back. For sure, the redemption power should be weaker. So he says, "Ain it din shohura keichu that what shein lava v'goyel achatzoin." So therefore, the Gemara says, "No, what does Goel Yigal teach us? That there is no kavul chaymer, and the din is you could do it midway, and you could borrow money and redeem it."
With Hektish, you could borrow.
Right. Right. That's right. By Hektish, you could redeem the field. Halfway. Even though there's a logic to say differently. Because Hektish, in other words, by Hektish is the strong guy. Because if you don't redeem it, you ain't getting it back. The Kohenim keep it. Hektish. Page 40. Close to the bottom of the page. Right? So the Shimon's logic is that Hashem wants the owner to keep the field. From Hegdish, you see, that God wants the buyer, the seller, not to keep the field. Because what happens by Yovel? The Kohenim get it, not the owner. So then his power is all weaker. So maybe that's the way to look at it. So the Torah says no. It says in the pasuk Goal Yigal, the double expression, teaches us that by Hegdish, you could redeem the field halfway, you could borrow money and redeem it, you could do whatever you want. Okay, so now the Gemara asks 1 minute. Ma lemeich esode. The Gemara says, why? The Kavul Chaymer is not really such a good Kavul Chaymer. Why? Ma lemeich esteachuzah, because when a person sells a steachuzah, shekein hura kreich legal miyat. In other words, like this, the din is, what we really need is a good old-fashioned blackboard to draw the charts on the board. Okay? Yeah. Once we get the three dinim straight, everything in the Gemara will just fall into place very easily. If you sell a field, the din is like this. When Yovel comes, you get it back. But you cannot redeem the field for 2 years. This is what the Torah says. Logic, no logic, it doesn't matter. The Torah says, if I sell you a field in Eretz Yisrael, okay, I cannot redeem the field back for 2 years.
After?
No. For 2 years from the time of the sale.
And if your bill is a year later?
No, it goes back. So let's say I sell you a field and there's 10 years to Yovel. I sell you a field in Eretz Yisrael, 10 years left to Yovel. 10 years from the sale, the house goes back to the original owner. I mean the field, not the field. And I have the option of redeeming the field earlier. But for 2 years I can't redeem the field.
You cannot redeem half of it either.
No. Afterwards also not.
Well, if the guy acquiesces, can he get redeemed?
No.
Really? So you can't even...
He can give you a gift, but which Jew does that? He wouldn't sell it to a parent. Don't forget, in the Chumash, the only time you're allowed to sell a field is if your mom is broke. And as you saw, there was no real estate businesses. Understand? There was no sale for profit. In Mocha Chicha, the Torah says, if you're broke, the Gemara, we learned that before the expression, you cannot sell a field in Eretz Yisrael unless if you're broke and you don't have what to eat. Okay? So the Torah says like this. If I sell you a field, okay, up to 2 years, I cannot redeem it. After 2 years, I can redeem it, but not 50 halfway. I either redeem the whole field or nothing. And I'm not allowed to borrow money to redeem it. I have to own the money completely. That's one din. Then there's a din of makdish shodeyu. If a guy says, my field is hegdish, I'm giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, I have a right to redeem it right away. Okay? And according to the question of the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, even though the Chacham, we'll soon see the Chacham argue on Rav Shimon, but according to Rav Shimon, I can redeem half the field. I can borrow money and redeem it. What happens if I don't, and Yovel comes, I lose my right to the field. Who gets the field in Yovel? It goes to the Kohanim. God's gift to the Kohanim. I don't have the field anymore.
How does he redeem in Yovel? He just takes it, or he has to pay for it?
No, you can't redeem in Yovel.
What do you mean?
Before Yovel.
Right before Yovel, he's able to... I thought it goes out in Yovel, it goes back to... Rishon.
No, I'm saying... Let's say I say my field is Hegdish. Right? Somebody has a field and says, this field belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? I have a right, let's say it was a field of $500. Yeah? If I don't do anything to the field, and 10 years later Yovel comes, that's it, I'm out. Kohanim get the field, goodbye. I have no ownership to the field. Until Yovel, from day one, I can redeem it.
Until Yovel.
Until Yovel. I come to the Hegdish, to the Beis HaMikdash treasurer, to the Beis HaMikdash head of treasurer, come to the Beis HaMikdash's treasurer and say, sir, here's $500, give me back my field. He has to give it back. Okay. The question is, can he do it half the field redeeming? Can he come to Hegdish and say, here's $250, give me half the field? So Rav Shimon holds he could. Okay, then there's another din. If I sell you a house in a walled city, like Yerushalayim, I have 1 year to redeem the field, the house. I sell you a house in Yerushalayim for $1,000. Up to a year, I can come to you, give you the $1,000, and force you to sell me the house back.
Can't do that with the field.
No. If you did Hegdish to the field, yes. But not if you sold the field. If I sold the house, for 1 year, I can redeem the house. Against the buyer's wishes. After a year, I lose complete ownership. It stays by the buyer for good.
When you, if you decide to buy it back, you can do it just by paying the down payment.
No, you have to pay
the full amount.
Full amount. They didn't have banks with mortgages in those days. Cash deal.
I was just curious when you said $1,000. I was like, wow, cheap house.
What?
Field they could not sell, but their house they can sell house.
Also, only if they're broke. Well, broke.
For how a couple could buy a house in
Rosh Hashanah. Not in the
walled
city.
Well, they can build one.
It's almost built.
Huh?
They have to buy a field to build a house.
So, again, this is only if you sell a house.
But who would not?
If you buy empty lots, you could buy build.
They could buy a field.
Yeah. Anyway. Until Yovel. Outside of Yerushalayim, or walled cities, okay? How do you buy a house? Tel Aviv. Not nowadays.
You said before.
Tel Aviv, I know it exists in time of the Beis HaMikdash, probably. Come to Tel Aviv, I sell you a field, I sell you a house. It's only Hong Kong style. You only sell until Yovel.
Hong Kong style?
And therefore, I'm going back to the Chinese. Right? Right, the government went back to Chinese, no? So Yovel, the lands go back to the original owners. So when you buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, not nowadays, when Yovel existed, right? You bought a house in Tveria, in the, I don't know which cities have a wall. Let's say Yerushalayim is walled, we know.
Jericho?
Jericho. The wall fell down in the Okay? So, when you buy a house, a property in Eretz Yisrael, you are buying it as a really lease until Yovel. So obviously, if you have 5 years to left to Yovel, it's much cheaper price than if you have 40 years left to Yovel. Because you're buying it until Yovel, because Yovel, everything goes back to the original owner.
Okay, Rabbi, quick question. You mentioned before, if a person
says... The only two exceptions to this is if you make Hegdish a field, do Kayanim get it if nothing happens in Yovel? And if you sell a house in a walled city, the buyer gets it if you don't redeem it.
I thought Yovel, everything goes back to the original...
I said, except these two things. Okay.
Oh, and these are the exceptions.
A house in a walled city, yeah. If you have a year to redeem it from the sale date,
yeah.
You don't redeem, buy it back, that's it.
It's gone.
It's gone for good.
And the second one again was?
If I made my field Hegdish,
oh, okay.
And I don't redeem it by Yovel, the Kohen keep it. Meaning the Beis HaMikdash keeps it.
Why would anyone want to buy a house if they know they could lose it in one year just like that? I mean,
or sell it.
But you get the money back.
1 year, that's true.
But over there, it's even better because if the guy doesn't redeem it, you have it for good.
Yeah.
Even after Yovel.
I was going to say you're probably worth it.
What?
The inheritance.
Yeah. Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 tribes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Levi didn't get anything. Kainim didn't get anything. 12 tribes, right? Menashe and Ephraim were two. The land was divided to them.
Equally?
No. Lurav Tarbu Nachlosu Matamit.
They won the East Land and Jordan.
Right, whatever it was. But when they divided Eretz Yisrael, each tribe based on the size of numbers of the tribe, okay, even though it was a go roll, it was lottery, and everything seemed just to work out perfectly. Okay? So, like Yehuda had the most people, so they got a bigger piece of land. Now, that land, when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, was divided based on the families. Let's see. And it was based on Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why Tzlochot's daughters, whose Tzlocha died before they went into Eretz Yisrael, right? So what right did they have to get which land? So the Gemara says, because the land was divided by the families that left Egypt. So let's say Yehuda's family that left Egypt had, let's say, 5 kids, right? And they had 5 kids each. So let's say Yehuda had 25 families.
Yeah, about 30,000 people.
Whatever. No. 25 families. The land of Yehuda was divided into 25 parts. Each family got their part.
So did they count
and then...
Did they count the amount of people in those tribes? Like one tribe had 40,000, one tribe had 20,000, one tribe had 50,000.
Right. No. So I'm saying, but the tribe got bigger land based on the amount of people, but it was divided by the heads of the families.
Mm-hmm. Subdivided.
Right. So, if Yehuda, let's say, had 25 families when they left Egypt, so there are 25 divisions of land within Yehuda. And that stayed within Yehuda's family. So it always went back to, now, when it goes back to the family, you're talking about the parents died already, the kids, you know, but it's all within the family. Right.
After so many years,
how is there enough room? The Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Tzvi, like a deer that expands. Deer expands.
Does deer expand?
Huh? Yeah.
It was bigger then than it is now.
The stomach.
Right? Wasn't it bigger then than it is now?
No.
We had Jordan, we had other countries.
Israel is bigger back then.
Oh, they're bigger than the now, yeah.
Yeah.
Mashiach comes, it's going to even be bigger.
I think Los Angeles used to be part of Israel. But you're right.
That's a demise.
Then I guess we should stay here.
Okay. Based on what we just explained, the difference between selling a field, that if you sell a field, okay, you cannot redeem half of it, you cannot borrow money, but when Yevil comes, you get the whole field back. If you magdish the field, when Yevil comes, you can get the field. And therefore, you according to Rav Shimon, you could redeem half of the time. But the Ari Chaima, if you sell a house in a walled city, you have a year to redeem it. Once you don't redeem it, you're done. Okay? So Gemara says like this. Ma'ala meichas Sdei Achuza, you want to tell me that Sdei Achuza is better because that you could redeem half of it at a time. Okay? So he says, but Sdei Achuza, shekein hora keichel ligo miyad. But you cannot redeem it for 2 years. A field, we learned, if you sell a field, for 2 years you cannot redeem the field. Afterwards, until Yovel, you can redeem it. If you don't, you get it back anyway in Yovel. You said, Tom, I've been magnus, but look. Then Yovel takes away everything. Yovel words. Rules. Tom, I've been magnus, look, though, by the case of Hegdish, that it's better that you could redeem it right away. So the Gemara's question is like this. If Hegdish, if a field, Stei Achuza, cannot be redeemed halfway, so B'mat Hegdish, for sure you can't. So he says, no. So that we could counter-argue this by saying like this. If you sell a house in a walled city, you can redeem it right away, at least for the first year. And you cannot borrow and redeem it halfway. So Gemara says, so if you cannot redeem a walled city with borrowed money, Rav Sheshes came to the conclusion that you could. The Gemara, this is a whole long question on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was asked the question, can somebody redeem a walled city house halfway? You redeem 50% of the house. Rav Sheshes said yes. Okay, why? Because the fact that if Yovel comes and you didn't redeem it, you lose the house, and the Torah, according to Rav Shimon, wants you to own property, so the term makes it easier for you to redeem, that you could redeem half at a time. 20b5. Closer to the end. But at the end of the Braisa says, that Bati Ari Chema cannot be redeemed 50-50. Either all or none. That contradicts what Rav Sheshes said. Rav Sheshes has got to be saying that a house within a walled city you could redeem half at a time, and this Braisa says he can't. So the Gemara says, Loikasha. Top of the next page, in all books. Ha-Rabbanan, Ha-Rab Shimon. You're right, there's two opinions. Rab Shimon, who explains the reason of the Pasuk, and Rab Shimon therefore explains, what does the Torah really want over here? That a Jew should own land? That's what the Torah wants, a Jew should own land. Therefore, what does Rav Shimon say? A field that you sell, you're going to get back in Yovel anyway. That's the thing, you get back the field in Yovel. So the Torah says, we're going to make it difficult for you to redeem it. You know why? You're going to get it back anyway, who cares? Right? You're going to get it back. Therefore, what does Rav Shimon say? In the place where you're going to lose the field, if you don't redeem it when Yovel comes, then we make it easier for you to redeem it. Where do you lose when Yovel comes? Hegdish. And if you sell a house in a walled city. If you don't redeem it the first year, you're stuck. So therefore the Torah says we make it easier. That's what Rav Shimon says. So Rav Sheshes says, I'm answering the question according to Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, any time the Torah says you're going to lose something completely, i.e., hevdish that if you don't redeem it, the kohenim are going to get the field that doesn't go back to you. A house in a walled city that if you don't redeem it in the first year and Yovel comes, the other guy keeps it forever. Over there, Rav Shimon says the Torah makes it easier to redeem it. Therefore, in that year, you can redeem half the house. A field, you can redeem half the field.
And borrow the money.
By Hegdish. And borrow the money, right. And also borrow the money.
What, Rabbi, what is the reason that you're allowed to redeem anything that you sell? What is the reason behind that? If you sell land, you can get it back. What is the reason for that?
Very simple. The Torah allows you, like we said, you can only sell land if you're broke.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So Torah says, listen, you got the money, get your land back.
Uh-huh.
And the owner knows it, by the way.
Okay.
The owners in those days...
So they understood it when they bought
the
it.
The buyer who buys a field.
They understood that.
Just like in the time of the Gemara, it's not in this discussion. If you have a lien on a property, you owe me money.
Right.
I have a lien on your property.
Right.
And you sell the property. Right? I can go and get take away the property from you. From the
right,
buyer.
Right, because that's your security. Right?
That's the security. Right. It's a new owner.
Right.
When you buy a field, you're supposed to check into the liens.
Right.
Right? And if in his public knowledge. Because it's in the document
sure,
and there's witnesses.
Title, yeah, yeah.
It, okay, today's title company. Name of title company.
No,
Besden was the title company.
Saying, same title.
No, but the point is, when it's a written document loan, everybody knows about the loan. You know Yenta Yentaville? Okay. That's what the Gemara says.
I've heard of it.
The Gemara says, a friend is a friend who has a friend, you know. I tell you a secret, but this guy has a friend, he has a friend, he has... The whole world knows the secret because everybody has a friend. Yeah? So why can I go to you? I have a lien on your property. You sell it to him. Yeah? If you don't have the money to pay me the $1,000 loan, what do? I go to him. Why is it fair?
Yeah.
Because it's your fault. When you bought the land, you were supposed to find out that there's a lien on the property.
Right.
The same thing over here. You buy a land, you have to be aware that in many instances, the guy could redeem it. The Torah gives him the right of redemption. Why does the Torah do it? According to Rav Shimon, it's a very simple logic. Hashem wants the Jew to own land. He doesn't want him to sell land. You're forced to sell it out of poverty. You have the money, you can buy it back. The Braisa that says you cannot redeem a house 50% and you cannot, by Hegdish, redeem 50%, that's the Chacham, Mu'argi, and Rav Shimon.
So according to rabbis, Torah doesn't care if you own property or not.
Right.
It's not Torah's business to tell us to own.
I don't know if you say that. The Torah doesn't want to own property. The Torah doesn't go crazy because the guy wants to own property.
Wait a minute, I thought you said that the...
No, that's what Shimon holds.
Oh.
What were you saying before? You shouldn't sell land unless you're broke?
Says in Chumash.
You could sell land in Babel, in France, or whatever.
Yeah, only in Israel.
Only in Israel.
So I'm saying you could do business transactions in real estate and on and not on.
It was an agricultural country. Even, I don't know, Rashi in Chumash says, when the Torah speaks in Parshat Bahar, B'chukai Seudiz Dinim, Rashi over there says, in Mochachicha means, Rashi says that you can only sell the land when you're broke. In other words, they didn't have a business in those days of real estate. In fact, the Gemara says in Saita that if you sell a person in real estate, buries themselves. That you see today.
Well, that's because when you're investing.
If you don't have real estate, you have real estate?
No, if you deal in real estate, you go broke. But that was in the time of the Gemara, it's a whole different story.
Thank you.
Whatever.
You shouldn't sell unless you're broke.
Now, if people do it as a business, it's a business.
What's wrong even those days? What's wrong with selling that?
Because it was an agricultural country. People didn't do business in real estate.
Right.
Okay, Tani Chada. Okay, right. Tani Chada, one Braisa says, Leiva Vegoyal, a person is allowed to borrow money and redeem it. Vegoyal Achatzayin, and he could do it 50-50. And another Braisa says, no, ain't Leiva Vegoyal, that he's not allowed to. So it's a contradiction between the two laws. For us, again, it's not a question. Like Ashur, Rab Shimon. Right? One Rabban and one Rab Shimon. Could Rab Shimon, you could redeem a field halfway, that you were Magdish, or a house in Bati Arichayma, that you're allowed to redeem it halfway, and the Chacham hold you can't.
So according to Chacham, whether you sell a field or a house, you can never borrow or redeem halfway, even if you make it halfway.
According to Chacham.
Which is halach.
So
once you sell it, that's it. You cannot borrow to redeem it.
Correct.
You cannot redeem it half.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you sell it or if you make it half.
If you hold it, the Chacham, there's no difference in all three cases. But the Arachema, Magdish, or Steyachuza, you cannot do it. Steyachuza, that you sell a field, everybody says you can't do it halfway.
Cannot.
The only argument between the Rav Shimon and the Chachamim is by Hagdish and by the house in the city.
Rabbi, let me ask you a question, please. If you go by Reb Shimon, who says you can redeem half
right
before the year is up, and then let's say the year slips by and the guy goes, oh, I really wanted it back.
You snooze, you lose.
Even though he already showed you.
You snooze, you lose.
50%.
Okay. No, you got to do it. Don't
you? Gotta finish the deal.
Yeah, you got to do a deal. Half a deal is not a deal.
Then the concept of the remedy.
Yeah, sure. In halacha, there's schiras.
The field.
Yeah, yeah. You rent the field.
Rent the land or the house.
Yeah, but what happened? The guy didn't want to rent it. He only wanted to buy it, and he had no money. I mean, sure, your rental existed.
No, he said in case he doesn't have money that he wants to sell.
So I'm saying he could rent it out. In fact, the Gemara speaks about there was a schiras on a field, rental on a field. Then there was a sharecropper in the field. An artist was, as the Gemara used the expression, L'shish Levi al Machsa. I own the field, but I don't want to work in the field. I hire you to run the field, and you get a commission. Third, half, a quarter, whatever, you know, whatever the deal is.
In the Slavic.
Huh?
They still have this.
Yeah. They do it in old age homes today also, in L.A. Mm-hmm. If I own an old age home, which I don't, if I own an old age home, I have somebody else managing it, and they get a certain percentage of the income. Mm-hmm. Or, some people just rent it out to somebody, and they just get the rent, and what happens, happens. It's a sharecropper. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Amalei Ravacha b'rei d'rova l'ravashi, Ravacha, the son of Ravacha, said to Ravashi, Ike l'mifrach, you can ask a question on what we just learned. And he says, Ma l'meicha b'ayis b'atei arichema. What if selling a house in a walled city? Okay? Shekein hoda kechaligolelim. He cannot redeem it whenever he wants. Meaning, he can only do it for the first year. Right? Like we learned before, he can only redeem it for the first city. Year. Taimer behegdish. But look at hegdish. Sheyofa kechay. Hegdish is even stronger. Taimer behegdish. Sheyofa kechay. That your power is even greater. Ligolelim. That you can redeem it until you're evil. So, what's better? Hegdish is better than Matei Arachema. So how can the Braisa before make a Kavachemer the opposite way, that Hegdish is better than Matei Arachema? Amalei Ravacha Sovei L'Ravashi, Ravacha Sovei Tzet Ravashi, Mishum De'ika L'Meimah, because you can say like this, Neder Dina, the argument could go back and forth, and Teitze B'Matzad, meaning like this, another general rule in Torah. It's called Tzadu Shava Shabinim. Okay? What are they called? Binyan Avmashenk Suvim. in Rabbi Shema we say, Binyan Av Mishnei Ksuvim. Sometimes in the Gemara, if you want to learn out A from B, okay, and you say like this, if B is like this, A for sure should be like this.
Sounds like
Kavachem. That's a Kavachem, yeah. Yeah, it is a Kavachem. You say, you want to learn out A from B. And you say, if B is this din, A for sure should have that din. So Gemara says, no, but there's a certain thing B has that A doesn't have. So maybe that's why B has that din, and A doesn't, because there's a certain, granted, A is better than B, but B has a certain uniqueness that A doesn't have. So we say, no, C will prove it. C doesn't have the advantage B has, and still has the din of A. Okay? In other words, you want to learn out...
Huh? C proves A is correct.
C proves that the advantage that B has is not what's causing it to be so good. No. Because C has that good without the power of B. So therefore you can learn out A from B.
It's not the empowering element.
It's not the empowering element that causes the Kal Vachomer. That is called either Binyan Av Mishnei Ksuvim, or in Gemara it's especially called Atzada Shava Shebineihem. The common denominator of A and C, right? That this and this and this, and therefore A has that din. That's the way Torah works. Because in other words, like this, when you learn the Kal Vachomer, what's the Kal Vachomer? Kal Vachomer means easy and hard. Okay? And we say like this, if B, which is not so strong, has this and this din, A, which is even better, for sure should have that din. Right? That means A has something that B doesn't have, and therefore, if B has the din, A for sure should have the din. Then we come along and say, 1 minute, B has something that A doesn't have.
So it's not a straight comparison.
And maybe that's why B has that unique din that we're trying to learn A from B, because B has a certain unique din that A doesn't have. And maybe that's what makes the difference. So we say, no, C doesn't have B's uniqueness, and therefore, and C has it too.
We're going to keep D locked out because it would get too complicated.
No, you can go to D also. Usually not. It says, this uniqueness is not similar to this uniqueness. What's the common denominator between them? Let's say between C and B, that this is the din and this is the din. So A for sure should have that din. It's all over Shas. I mean, it's here also. Like the Gemara's question over here was like this. Bati Arichema, right? Bati Arichema is weakened because you cannot redeem it forever. But a field, by Hegdish, you could redeem forever. So Gemara says no, because Meiches Te'achuzi Yechiach. Look at the din of selling a house. What's the din of selling a house? Sheyapa Kaicha Ligo La'ilam. You can redeem it forever until Yevul. I mean, not a house, a field. Selling a field, house again. Sheyapa Kaicha Ligo La'ilam. Vein Leiva V'Goyel, and you cannot borrow money and redeem it halfway. Okay, but Malam Meches Te'achuza. But Te'achuza is a problem. Shekein Hura Kaicha Ligo Miyad, that you cannot redeem it for the first 2 years. So in that respect, it's weaker. So Mercha Bayis Bari Chama Yochiach. So then, selling a house will prove it. That what? That you can redeem it for the first 2 years, and yet, you can redeem it halfway. V'chazer Adin, and the argument goes back between the three. L'Ri'izeh, K'Ri'izeh, the nature of A and B are not similar to each other, but Atzad HaShava Shebehem, what is the common denominator between them all? Shenigalin ve'ein leiva ve'goyel. Number one, that they could be redeemed. But, ve'ein leiva ve'goyel, you cannot borrow money, ve'goyel lachatoy, and you cannot redeem it halfway. Afani avi magdish, the same thing I learned by hegdish. Shenigal, that it could be redeemed. But in leiva v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzon, you cannot borrow money and redeem it, and you cannot redeem it halfway. So according to the Chachamim, from A, B, C, meaning house, hegdish, stei achuzo, we liken all three together, that they all have the same din. Because the uniqueness of A, B doesn't have, and what uniqueness in B, C doesn't have, and what unique in C, A doesn't have. So what's the common denominator between all of them? They could be redeemed. Everyone different in. But you cannot redeem it halfway, and you cannot borrow money and redeem it. So according to the Chachamim, none of the three could borrow money to redeem it, and you cannot redeem half of it at a time. According to Rav Shimon, the Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon, a house in a city could be redeemed halfway. Hegdish could be redeemed halfway if you make the field hegdish. The only thing that can't is if you sell a field.
Cannot be done halfway.
Then all or none.
Is the reasoning behind the Chachamim why they say none of them can? It's just they figure since they can't isolate any one thing, it's better to just the strictest rules, period. It's just to be safe.
Not always.
I mean,
they don't see stricter rules.
I mean, in this case, is that their thinking?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Because by a field that's sold, the Gemara learns out clearly from a pasuk, you cannot do it half at a time.
Oh.
That's clear.
Oh, okay.
The question is, do we take that din and put it to the other two also? If you buy a house in a walled city, or if you make hegdish to a field, do you apply the din of selling a field? If I sell you a field, right, everybody holds, you cannot redeem half of it. The question is, do we apply that din? The house is bought in a walled city, and if you makdish the field, do we apply the same din or not? Chachamim say yes, and Rav Shimon says no. What's Rav Shimon's logic, like we learned before? Rav Shimon says, the Torah wants you to keep it. Therefore, when you sell a field, you know why you can't redeem it halfway? Because you're going to get it back anyway in Yovel. When Yovel comes, you're going to get it back anyway. So therefore, the Torah says, either redeem it or don't redeem it. The other two, well, you won't get back in Yovel. Either the Kohenim will get it if it's Agdish, or the buyer in the walled city will keep it forever. So over there, the Torah is more lenient. You can redeem it halfway.
That's Rav
Shimon's logic. Chachamim say no. There's a Kavachayma going back and forth over here. And the bottom line of all three is that they have a common denominator. Okay? Each one has something unique that the other one doesn't have. And therefore the bottom line of the din is, you cannot redeem it halfway. You either redeem it, or you don't redeem it. Are you going to lose the field? Tough luck. No, tough luck. You either redeem it, or you don't redeem it. And the problem is you can't even borrow money.
Right.
You have to either win the lottery or get inheritance. I don't know, by the way, what would be the din if you have a good friend and he knows that he can't lend you the money.
So he gives it to you.
Knowing eventually you'll give it back to him. Not as a loan. He's giving you a gift. Right? And the unspoken word, he trusts you that you'll probably give it back to him.
It's like borrowing for interest. Free interest.
Free interest. So like borrowing a lulav. He gives it to you.
Wouldn't you guess, Rabbi, that based on everything you said tonight, that probably would not be okay? Because then everyone can do that and say, it wasn't alone. It's like you're opening.
Yeah, but that's very dangerous.
You're opening up a big floodgate.
Let me tell you something. I can be a good friend to you until it comes to money. You know that. Like it's a business, trust nobody. Not your family, not your friends. No! Because I give you the money legally, and you say, you know what, I don't want to pay you back.
Right.
So what are you going to do? You can't take him to Beis Din. What happens if the guy goes broke?
Alright, I see what you're saying.
You lost your money. Everybody's going to do it.
Taking a chance.
Right.
And if he dies, would the children have to pay back?
No. It's not a loan. Why should they have to pay back?
So from what you just said, it's really not such a floodgate because not too many people are going
to. Who's going to want to do it?
Yeah, right. Okay, I see.
I mean, if a guy's a family member or a big about tzedakah, sometimes people ask me, they lend somebody money, and the guy's not paying him back, and the guy doesn't look like the guy's going to pay him back. So they ask me, halachically, can I count that as tzedakah money? But
he's not poor.
I'm saying he has no money to pay back.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have the money to pay.
Doesn't have the money.
Well, not
at least he says so.
Rabbi, it's in your power to say yes.
So I'll be there in the day. But I said, once you give it to Tzedakah, then you can't ask him for the money back.
Right.
Then you're giving it to him at Tzedakah.
Huh? What happens if you do want to pay him back, but you have unable to?
You can't milk a dry cow.
Can't milk a dry cow.
Oh, right, that's true. What should the person who can't pay back the friend or the other person
go get a job and pay back?
I'm saying that what can you do?